T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome to Focus on the Upstate, a program dedicated to informing you about organizations that serve our community and how you can get involved with them. Here's your host, Chris Evans.
Good morning and welcome to Focus on the Upstate. My name is Chris Evans. Today, my guest is Jesslyn Griffith, the Community Engagement Coordinator for Switch SC. Good morning.
Good morning, Chris.
Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Well, it's my pleasure. Switch SC, you know what? I'm just going to start with a question that I normally ask, the introductory question, so that you can tell the listeners what it is that you do and who you do it for. So tell us, what do you do and who do you do it for?
Absolutely. So Switch is a nonprofit in the upstate of South Carolina. We are headquartered out of Greenville. We have been in existence since 2012. We fight sex trafficking in the upstate of South Carolina. We have 5 different programs that we do that through: awareness, prevention, demand, intervention, and restoration. My role, I'm over awareness, prevention, and demand. And so one of the things that I am really passionate about is making sure that people understand what sex trafficking really is. It's such an unseen enemy because we have so many misconceptions about what we think it is, and therefore we're not able to identify it. We think of the movie Taken. We
Right.
think of international kidnappings and a girl in a dark basement in chains. And while there are some cases that look like that, they're the minority of the cases, like 5% of the cases.
Well, and that's probably, I'm hoping, that's mm-hmm. where most people will have gotten their concept of the human trafficking, sex trafficking industry, I guess, from the Hollywood portrayals that are, as you mentioned, sort of sensationalized.
Yes. That's exactly right. And so that makes it a little bit hard because sometimes victims won't even self-identify because they'll say, well, I've never had to wear handcuffs. I wasn't tied up. I've not been held in a basement.
Right.
I wasn't kidnapped. So I'm not a victim of sex trafficking. But really,
Liam Neeson never had to come save me.
That's right. Right. Exactly. So sex trafficking takes place anytime someone is forced, frauded, or coerced into the commercial sex industry, or is under the age of 18.
Okay.
And force is exactly what it sounds like, and really involves like those 5% of cases where maybe there is a kidnapping, where someone is beaten, where there's that threat of violence that could take place. Fraud is really being lied to,
yeah.
Pretending to be something you're not. A very common scenario in the U.S. and here in the state of South Carolina as well, is that Romeo pimp idea,
right.
Where someone will play that boyfriend role for 6 months or even a year. And the end goal for that guy, though, is to be able to exploit and traffic that girl.
So he's gained her trust during that time, and then she's willing to do what he asked her to do.
Yes.
Okay.
And that's a really hard thing. I think that's one of the biggest challenges we face in trying to help the community understand this. Because the big question is, well, why doesn't she just leave? If
right.
she's being trafficked, why doesn't she or he, because this
right.
has happened to males also,
right.
why don't they just leave? And really the best way to explain it is the Stockholm Syndrome.
Yeah.
It is a real thing. I was actually even reading more about it last night, and it explains exactly what happens and how those trauma bonds become so strong, how that trust is established and developed. And it's a really hard thing to break. Again, a lot of times victims won't even realize that they are being victimized.
Well, and we hear this a lot. In fact, frankly, we hear it so much that it's almost become cliche with physical abuse victims, you know, that why don't they just leave? They won't get hit if they leave the person that's abusing them. But so often they wind up defending the person either to the police or to, you know, friends and family who are worried about them, and find a justification for the behavior.
That's exactly right. And we see that same thing. There are so many similarities between a domestic abuse victim and a trafficking victim. You just have that selling piece on top of it. But you're absolutely right about that.
Well, let's talk about the five programs that you mentioned. Mm-hmm. Awareness, prevention. You're going to have to help me. Awareness, prevention.
Demand, intervention, and restoration.
Intervention and restoration. Let's go through those one by one and talk about each one and what it means.
So with our prevention program, we actually partnered with Love 146, who is an international anti-trafficking organization who works with victims, and they created a prevention curriculum called Not a Number. And so the Junior League of Greenville actually gave us a grant that allowed us to become certified facilitators in that program, and now we are going into schools, DJJ, DSS, youth groups, and sharing that curriculum with the students. A lot of times we'll do a meeting with the parents ahead of time so they know what their kids are going to be learning about. It is for students 7th grade and up. We're in a local high school right now doing 6 different classes. When I leave here, I'm going there to present. And I will just say it's been such a powerful experience. We had to go through this as adults. We went through 3 days of training to become facilitators for this. And I remember thinking, how are we going to get these teachers and administrators to agree to let us have 4.5 to 5 hours of their classroom time?
Yeah.
But because trafficking is just becoming such a huge epidemic, by next year, it's expected to be the largest crime in the world, finally surpassing drugs.
Really?
Yes. And so it's such an epidemic, and we're dealing with it so much in our schools. Here in Greenville County, it's going on. And so it's just getting a lot of attention, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that our school systems and people in charge are recognizing the need for this and letting us come in and take those 4.5 to 5 hours.
Sure.
But it's really been impactful with the students. And it's really, we talk about what trafficking is. We go through some scenarios because the big thing is, I think students always think, oh, this isn't going to happen to me. There's no way this would happen to me. I'm too smart for that. But traffickers are so smart. There are actually manuals that tell them how to do this. And what they're looking for is that vulnerability in a student to find that wound in their life, that need that's going unmet, whatever that hurt
is. To fill that hole.
Absolutely. Because we all, really at the end of the day, we all want to be loved and accepted.
Sure.
And so they will, they'll watch on social media, and they're not going to comment on the cute pictures. They're going to comment on that, that post that says, oh man, my parents, they're so unfair. They won't let me go to this party.
Yeah.
And that's where they're going to connect with that student, that youth, and they're going to try to move that to a private conversation where they connect, where they say all the right things so that student really feels understood and valued. And then they'll continue to build on that relationship in order to exploit that person. And there's story after story after story of that happening. So we bring awareness to students about how subtly it happens, how that trust is built. We've done such a good job teaching kids about stranger danger. Mm-hmm. So they know it's not necessarily a stranger who's going to be trying to do this. It's going to be someone that they trust. We go through an exercise where we pass out photos, and there's an armed, a decorated military officer, a preacher, a grandma. And we ask students to figure out who the traffickers are. Well, everybody is a trafficker.
Yeah.
And then we read the profile.
Or at least has the potential to be.
Well, actually, these are real stories of people who have actually been convicted of trafficking.
But you're not trying to suggest that everybody in the world is involved.
Right. Yes. Thank you for clarifying that. Just so they realize anyone can be a trafficker.
Right.
And so then if anyone can be a trafficker, who can I trust? So we talk about healthy relationships and unhealthy relationships. And what are the red flags to watch for if a relationship starts to become unhealthy? And just know, listening to your own gut instinct, we all have those little red flags that go off, but so many times we'll ignore them and we'll just excuse them away.
Let's talk about that. Let's do a mini class right now for the listeners. What are some of those red flags?
Okay, so we go through a story of a girl who's new to a school, and her name's Jenna. And this girl, Taylor, is so nice to her, and she befriends her, and she invites her to these parties where there are these college guys. And so Jenna's at this party with Taylor, and Taylor says, hey, I don't want to do anything. I don't want you to do anything that makes you uncomfortable. But these guys have asked me to come in and dance for them in this room, and they told me they'd give me money, so I'm going to do it. But I don't want you to do it if that makes you feel uncomfortable. well, Jenna really doesn't want to do it. And even though Taylor has said you don't have to, she feels a little bit of pressure because Taylor's
sort
her friend.
Sort of reverse psychology. Yeah.
Yes, okay. Exactly. And Taylor's her friend, and she's, you know, she doesn't want to let her down. She appreciates what she's done for her, so she goes in and she dances. And so they do that at a few parties. And then eventually Taylor's got this idea of doing lap dances. Well, so Jenna, you know, she's already been – Taylor's been grooming her, which is stretching her boundaries just a little bit and getting her comfortable with that first step outside of the box and letting her see that she's safe making that first step out of the box. So then the lap dances take place and Taylor records it. And they do this for a couple parties. And eventually it's, hey, this guy wants to have sex with you and you're going to do it. You know, she's dropped the line about, oh, I don't want you to feel uncomfortable. It's
not giving her an option to say no.
Yes, because I have your lap dances recorded and I will post those. I will share those and people will know what kind of person you really are if you don't do this. And this is a real story that came from a survivor story that Love 146 had worked with. But these are the same kind of stories that are going on across the country. 300,000 American youth are lured into trafficking every year. And so empowering them with this knowledge and this awareness is so important. But we don't just stop there. We talk about risky behavior and risky situations and safety plans for those situations. We talk about what our vulnerabilities are and how to recognize those so we can re-strengthen those. And all of this is so interactive. And we've gotten such great comments from the kids about, I feel like you've saved our lives, and thank you for sharing this information. It's so important. This is hard stuff to talk about, but I'm so glad I know about it. And we just get comment after comment from students about that. And we get some funny ones too, but then we also get some really hurting ones.
Sure.
And I'm thankful that they, after being in the classroom with them for, you know, three times at an hour and a half or five times for an hour, you do develop this camaraderie and this trust with them there where they feel like they can share with you. And so we've been able to help some students through that.
You mentioned that one of the tactics that the perpetrators will use to lure their victims into this trafficking is social media.
Yes.
And it makes me, I mean, the internet still is a fairly new invention, historically speaking.
Yes.
And it seems like as a society, we're still kind of trying to figure out how it works and what to do with it. Talk about the influence of the internet in terms of sex trafficking.
Okay, there are a couple of different components. One, it's a huge tool for recruiters. Anytime, whether it's a gaming app or a social media app, a third party can gain access to your child while they are in the safe confines of their bedroom or your house. That's just a huge risk right there. So making sure you're mindful of privacy settings and location settings and training your child on online safety, that's one important thing. Another huge problem that we are facing is online porn. It's just easily accessible to people. And unfortunately, it's what's driving the commercial sex industry. It's fueling the demand for the commercial sex industry. When I said next year, sex or human trafficking is expected to exceed drugs as the number one crime. You can only sell drugs once, but you can sell a human multiple times a day and night. And that's what we see happening. And so it's online porn that's fueling that. You know, we just think it's really so widely accepted in our culture. We think it's a victimless crime, but it's not. There's a survey that says 49% of people who had been trafficked said that porn was made of them while they were being trafficked. So you just don't know what's going on behind that camera and what situation might be putting, you know, what kind of force, fraud, or coercion is putting a smile on that person's face. And so the big thing is, once people know that those dots are connected and online porn is putting someone in this position, human trafficking is called modern day slavery. So by clicking on that ad, that is helping fuel that industry, what are you going to do about that?
Yeah.
And it's hard because porn is made to be so highly addictive. It's psychologically and physiologically destructive, and it's that gateway drug, and that's what we see happen. Eventually, it just, what you need to see has to escalate and escalate until finally it's not enough, and you have to make that call or click to purchase commercial sex.
So that's
how those dots are connected
beginning to end. And I was wondering about that because it seems a little counterintuitive. You'd think if somebody was consuming online porn that they are not going to be in demand for actual sex acts with a live human being because they're fulfilling that desire some other way.
Sure.
But it actually turns into that sort of trafficking.
Yes. And there's actually going to be an event at Clemson on February 15th at 7:30 in Tillman Auditorium. There's actually an organization called Fight the New Drug, and
okay.
It is about online porn because
really?
It's seen as that gateway drug. And so we're really excited about this at Switch. Our demand group, which is one of our programs, they're going to be there. But it's really just meant to help raise awareness and help people understand this. And it's not to be condemning or judgmental. Again, this is so widely accepted in our culture. And I think it's just because we don't have that awareness of how those dots are connected. So we don't realize, you know, the lack of humanity in it all.
So. I understand. You mentioned that it is expected that sex trafficking will surpass the drug trade as the primary crime in the world. How do those two relate? I remember seeing a statistic that 40% of men who admitted to having paid for sex at one point were drunk or intoxicated mm-hmm. when they did that. It seems like that might go hand in hand as types of organized crime.
Absolutely. And just to clarify, so sex trafficking, the human trafficking is composed primarily of sex trafficking and labor trafficking.
Okay.
So the two combined making up the human trafficking industry will surpass. So,
gotcha.
We do see that sex trafficking makes up about it's a $150 billion industry, and sex trafficking is $99 billion of that. So that's a pretty big giant we're fighting, and it's going to take society at large to stand up and say this isn't okay, and we've got to do whatever it takes to stop this. Here in South Carolina, we're the number one state in the country for the familial trafficking of children, and familial trafficking is when a family member is selling another family member. So often that's a parent selling a child, and it's happening right here in our state. And I mean, it can happen as young as 3 years old. And so that's just not okay. And
right.
to know that if me clicking on porn has any end result in a three-year-old being sold for sex, I don't want anything to do with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so it's a humanity issue. And it is going to take our whole society making big culture changes to change it. But going back to the way drugs and trafficking are combined, a lot of times once a new recruit, a trafficker has someone new, a new victim in what's called as referred to as the life or working in the commercial sex
okay.
industry, they will use drug addictions to control them. So uppers to perform, downers to get them to sleep, but also to as motivation to make their quota.
Sure.
You won't get your drugs until you make your quota. And some of those withdrawals are so bad and so intense, people have said they would rather die than not, you know, than go through that withdrawal. So it's used as motivation to make the quotas that you have to make.
Well, I imagine that it also has to do with that initial foray into the life, as you say, that reducing inhibition through drug use, substance abuse would make it easier to convince somebody to do what you want them to do.
Absolutely. And within our prevention curriculum, we talk about that. You know, if you're going to engage in alcohol and drug use, you're putting yourself in a risky situation. And so definitely that there are so many ways that those tie together.
I understand. One of the things that I wanted to ask about, I did a little research before the interview and learned that Louisiana apparently is the only state where people who are arrested for prostitution are registered as sex offenders. And I know that the position of Switch SC, I've learned before, is that prostitutes are victims, not criminals.
Yes. So I've got two thoughts going on in my mind that I'll try to share.
Let's do both.
Okay. So we know that most people who are in the commercial sex industry were trafficked as minors.
Okay.
So they were forced, frauded, or coerced into the commercial sex industry as minors. And a lot of times then that life just becomes normalized to them. And even as they have aged up into adulthood and maybe they have the freedom to get out, it has become normalized. And that's
right.
The only way they know to survive. So within the movement, which are all efforts to end modern day slavery and human trafficking, there are some efforts being made to kind of create some paradigm shifts in how we look at things. That prostitution is the commercial sex industry, that a prostitute is a commercial sex worker, that prostitution is a survival trafficking situation, more than just that choice. Because, I mean, sometimes we say it's the choice of those with no choices. Who really
okay.
wants to do that? Typically, we know that most people were originally forced, frauded, or coerced into that lifestyle as a teen.
Meaning they didn't choose it.
They didn't choose it.
Of their own volition.
Yes, exactly. And so also, then the other thing I wanted to mention was laws. South Carolina is doing a really good job on our laws. There's still
okay.
a lot of work that needs to be done. Shared Hope International is another international anti-trafficking organization, and they grade each state's laws. So you can go on there and you can read the laws, the human trafficking laws that exist in each state and the ones that groups are working to get into law. And originally, we started out as an F in South Carolina a few years ago. Our first trafficking laws came about in 2012. We were then bumped up to a 70 with a C. And this past November, when the grade cards came out, we had an 82% with a B, which is great. And we were the state with the greatest improvement, so we were applauded for that.
So there's progress.
There's progress being made, and that is great. We still have more progress to make.
Right.
And one of those things is even here, we're trying to work on getting the law separated, because if you're a sex buyer or you're a commercial sex worker, it's just a prostitution charge. And we want that separated, because we want there to be greater penalties on the sex buyer who is fueling the demand and driving the demand for this industry. And creating primarily, again, yes, we believe that most commercial sex workers are victims and did not originally choose to be there, but have now gotten stuck there.
Let's try and end, because we're coming up on the
sure.
end of the program, let's try and end on a positive note and talk about restoration.
Yes. All right. That's a good one. That's a good place to end. So we say all the time that hope has the final word. Through our intervention program, we have a group of volunteers who will go into the clubs and establish relationships with these girls and sometimes men. We've worked with three men since 2012. And sometimes we will have participants come into our program through that effort. We also have a care coordinator in Spartanburg County Jail, and we're working to make that happen in Greenville County and Anderson County jails as well.
Okay.
So there are a lot of different ways that we have women come into our program. Whenever there's a sting locally, we work very closely with law enforcement, and we're involved in that. If there are victims, then we'll get to work with law enforcement to help get those girls to a safe place. And they just become participants in our program. And so within our restoration program, our care coordinators will create individualized and holistic care plans. And they'll walk with these girls through their journey and help them meet goals they have set for themselves. Because choice has been taken away
yeah.
so much in their lives. It's so important that they're a part of helping determine what their future is going to look like and help plan that out. And so we just walk beside them as they do that. And so it's so great to see when our participants make it to graduation and graduate and have achieved their goals, and to see them empowered. Sometimes they may have lost their children through this situation, and we'll help them work to get their children back. To see them working and thriving in a job. One of the girls that we've been able to help has a great job and was actually interviewing and had told us she makes more money than we do, you know, and it's so great to see her thriving and successful.
A real success story, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's hope. And like I said, that's one of our sayings all the time. Hope is the final word.
If people want to get in touch with Switch SC, maybe somebody has heard this interview and is in a situation like this and they need help, or somebody wants to volunteer or even make a donation, how do they get in touch with Switch SC?
If there is someone who has been a victim of sex trafficking or is currently in that situation, they can call our hotline at 888-773-4216. The general public can call us at 864-350-0281 or go to the website, switchsc.org. You can request speakers on there. You can sign up to volunteer with us. There are a lot of different ways you can plug in. Follow us on social media on Instagram or Facebook just to stay up to date on what we're doing, on things that are going on in our state and in the upstate.
So again, switchsc.org is the website. The emergency contact line, 24 hours a day, 888-773-4216 if you need help. And if you just want to get in touch, there are email addresses and local contact numbers on the website, switchsc.org. Jesselyn Griffith, the Community Engagement Coordinator for Switch SC, has been my guest this morning. Thank you very much for being here.
You're welcome. It's my pleasure. Thank you for helping us get the word out.
It's been my pleasure, too. I'm Chris Evans, and this has been Focus on the Upstate.
You've been listening to Focus on the Upstate with Chris Evans. If you would like more information on today's topic, email Chris at cevans@intercom.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.